How many of you guys were here last week? Pastor taught. Well, it's kind of cool because I think the Lord laid upon my heart to continue what we've been talking about for the last couple weeks. But I am going to do a little bit of a recap. Well, the only thing I'd like to say before I pray is, you know, as Christians, a lot of times as Christians, we tend to complicate God. And, you know, sometimes we get so studying this word, and I kind of touched on that a couple weeks ago, that we forget what are the basic, simple principles of what God's all about. And so this morning, I really believe God laid it upon my heart to lay down some foundational things. You can call them what you want. Call them foundational. I almost like to look at them as filters. But they're four small little things that I believe have to be entrenched in every person's heart in the kingdom of God. I believe your Christian success is based upon a simple understanding of four things. Everything else builds upon it. You know, it's funny because I sometimes get to preparing for my message and I'm like, it seems like I just taught that thing that the Lord's laying in my heart. It's funny because there's just certain things that God's put in my heart over the years, the last several years especially, that are just foundational. There's things that I cannot find missing in any part of the Bible. When you read it and you see it for what it is, you see these things. So I want you guys to think about today that Mark 4 says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear. And also in the Gospels, Jesus made many statements about how you need to become like little children in order to see the kingdom of God. Now, how many of you guys can testify that little children, you can't get too complex with them? How many teachers we have in here that can tell you that truthfully, I mean, you got to keep it pretty simple, pretty basic, pretty cut and dry. I mean, things that we teach toddlers are things like God loves you. I mean, simple things. God makes things grow. These are simple, not complex. We're not going to get into the Greek and break it all down with the kids. Right? God is much the same way here in getting certain understandings across it. In fact, Paul, in many situations, made statements about how he had to unlearn what he had learned in order that he could learn what he needed to know. And so what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes as I pray, and I want you to think, God, I want to come into this message this morning with a simple understanding of just hearing what is being said. I'm not going to base what I hear on what I know. I'm just going to try to say, I'm an open sponge, I'm an open book. I want to hear it in its simplicity. So if you do that, I believe that you'll get something here today. Because what I have to say is not anything huge and monstrous, but I believe that when I look at the Bible and I think about the success, if I've had any success, or the success that I'm going to have as a Christian, it's going to be based in these four basic areas of understanding. They're not difficult. They're very simple. So as we pray, I want you to think about, God, help me to hear the simplicity of the Word of God. Help me to hear the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Father, right now in Jesus' name, we just thank you and praise you for the privilege to come again. Father, we as a church open our ears to hear from the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit truly is the teacher. Using vessels that will allow Him, He'll teach. So Holy Spirit, you'll have your way here this morning in this place to get across simple things. Foundational things. Things that we can build success as Christians upon, Father God, for the rest of our life. Father, I pray that every ear in this place today would hear your word. Would hear it in its simplicity. Would hear it in its just simple form. The seed form that it's intended to be. For when that seed is planted, Father, you said that seed alone has the potential to move mountains as it grows. Father God, we want the seed of the Word of God to get planted in our heart in such a way that it can grow. But we know that that seed can't be planted in ground that is hard, that is rocky, that is stony. Father, so we have to prepare our hearts. We have to prepare ourselves to hear Your Word. So right now as a church, we commit ourselves in preparation to hear the simplicity of the Word of God in its seed form. That, Father, we can grow because we are the ground. We have to prepare the ground. So right now as little children, Father God, we say, help us to hear the Word of God. Help us to hear the simplicity of the Word of God. Help us to understand what it is in its most simple form so that we can grow up and become the Christians and the church that You called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so about 2 weeks ago, we talked. I taught to the church basically simple salvation. It wasn't really in-depth. It wasn't really technical. It was very simple. So the number one pillar you have to build your Christian walk on is salvation. Without it, nothing else will be successful as a Christian. Everything hinges upon you knowing Christ. Everything hinges upon you believing the testimony of Christ. But in its simplest form, you need to understand that when you got born again, you received a new nature. When you got born again, you received a new nature. When you got born again, you received a new nature. I was talking to the youth on Wednesday night about just this subject, about how we have a new nature. And how many of you guys have ever seen the movie? I used this illustration, so I'm going to use it again this morning. I thought it was good. How many of you guys have ever seen the movie, remind me, youth, what movie it was? Madagascar. See, they remember. How many of you guys remember Madagascar? Has anybody seen that? Raise your hand if you've seen it. Some people with kids probably never have. But in Madagascar, it's set basically in the zoo in downtown New York. And there's a lot of animals, okay? One of the big animals is the lion. He's like the centerpiece of the whole entire zoo. He does a big show. He does all this stuff. He's a lion. Well, it turns out that there's a giraffe, or I think it's a giraffe, or not a giraffe, a zebra, that wants to see the world. He wants to get out, right? Well, he's good friends with all the animals, and so he explores New York. And in the interim of everything happening, all his friends, his comrades go to look for him because he left the zoo. So they're all running around New York, and they end up basically getting trapped and being sent away. Well, long story short, they end up in Madagascar. The interesting thing about this lion is as he is developing, he was born in the zoo. He was an entertainer. He had the ability to entertain everybody and to do all these things. And he, you know, everything was given to him. He was spoon-fed. I mean, he had the best meat that was brought to him, T-bone steaks. I mean, they brought him the best. But, of course, when he got to Madagascar, guess what he didn't have? He didn't have anybody bringing him anything anymore. And it's funny, in the movie, it begins to show a process of change for this lion. Because the lion had a nature. Just like we as sinners have a nature, and just like we as Christians have a nature. The lion had a nature. His nature was that he was a killer, that he would hunt the very friends that he had in the zoo. His nature was that he was a hunter. And when he got hungry enough, guess what happened? The zoo stigma wore off. Nobody was bringing him T-bones, and his true nature came out. Guess what happened? All of a sudden, it's funny in the cartoon because all of a sudden the zebra starts to look like a steak, and then all these other animals start to look like steaks. Why? Because he had the nature of a lion. And as hard as he tried, he still had that nature. And that's no different than what we are as humanity. We have a nature on the inside of us. When we're born into this earth, we have a nature. It's called the nature of sin and death. And we're born with that nature whether we want to be or not. We are. Whether we're born in a Christian home or not, we're born with the nature of sin and death. That's the curse that followed Adam and Eve's sin. It's the fact that it wasn't death in the sense of annihilation, like Pastor says it many times. It's not death in the sense of you're destroyed, you're killed, you're dead. It's death in the sense of separation. So that separation brought sin. A nature that's sin. Well, in the movie, this lion had a nature. And that nature came out when it wasn't in the conditions that it's normally used to being in. See, when you're born again, you have a new nature. That new nature has the capacity to serve God. That new nature has the ability to... That new nature has the ability to do all the things God's called you to do. But before you're born again, you don't have the nature or the ability to perform truly the Word of God. Now, the Ten Commandments were a set of principles and rules that were established by God in the earth to keep humanity in check. Until the time that He could bring His Son into the world, where that He could do what He needed to do so that He could become sin for the world, and anyone that believed in Christ would have that nature that Christ had. But until that time, it was law that governed this world. And God worked through law. Last week, the pastor talked about how since faith is what ruled the earth in the Old Testament. And that's true. The law had the ability to bring the senses, your sensual being, in subjection. It brings it into alignment to a degree. But given the right circumstances, given the right situation, given the right timing, if you are not born again and you do not have the nature of God residing in you, law will sooner or later run its course. And then the nature that's on the inside of you, when you're no longer being spoon-fed all these things and you're in a difficult situation and it becomes real complex, your true nature will shine out. Amen? Go with me to John chapter 1. In verse 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. In Christ was life. And that life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And that light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." You know why Jesus was so hard on the Pharisees and Sadducees? Because they were the keepers of the principles of God. Amen. And what frustrated Jesus was because they were the keepers of the principles of God, they surely should have recognized when God became right present in front of them and began to walk that nature out. I mean, imagine being Jesus and you're the declaration of those Ten Commandments to the world. And the very keepers, the very ones that were supposed to preach the gospel, that were supposed to preach the principles of God to the world, didn't recognize that very nature when it was in front of them. In Him was life. That life was the light of man. You know what? Jesus had the nature of God. He wasn't trying to produce the Ten Commandments. Because He was the Ten Commandments. He was the declaration that God brought. He didn't have to try, you know, in the sense of like we do, where we're trying to unlearn everything we've learned and we're trying to overcome our flesh. He was born with that nature on the inside of Him when He came from the loins of Mary, and God did not, He bypassed the seed of Adam. That's why the virgin birth is so unique. He bypassed the very seed of Adam and birthed a human being in this earth that had His nature. That's why Jesus was able to carry out a sinless life. Because He had the nature to carry it out. And go real quick to verse number 9. The same area. "That was the true light which gives light to every man into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave He gave the right to become the children of God to those who believe in His name. And you remember I was talking about Romans in chapter 10, and I said that Jesus came to those who believe. That you got to believe, that's your part. Jesus declared to humanity who He was, and He also declared the very nature and essence of who God is. And in doing that, He then died on the cross for our sins, became the sin offering for us before God, so that we then could stand in front of God blameless in His sight. The problem is that we have to believe. That's our part. God's part is He declared, our part is we believe. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Go to Romans chapter 8. In verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to that Spirit, that new nature. When we got saved, we got born again. See, the righteous requirement of the law is met in us who do not walk after our flesh, but will make a decision, a conscious decision, that we're going to walk after the born-again Spirit that God gave us. So, number one, you need to understand you have a new nature when you got born again. Everything else is secondary to that. Everything else is secondary. You need to understand that you have a new nature when you got born again. You got a new nature on the inside of you. That nature has the capacity to do everything that God called us to do. It not only has the capacity here, but it has the capacity to live eternity with God, with that same very nature and essence that God has. We have a new nature. Number one, you got to understand, you have a new nature when you got born again. You're no longer the lion that goes around looking and seeing everybody like they're a big steak. You have a new nature on the inside of you. You're an herbivore. Okay? You got a new nature. You can think about things differently. You see things differently. You have the capacity on the inside of you to see it differently. Number two, last week, Pastor hit this pretty hard. Number two thing, the Holy Spirit is your teacher and mentor. The Holy Spirit is the teacher and mentor and guide to your new nature. Go with me real quick to John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit's job is to declare Jesus to us. That's how come Jesus doesn't come in physical form to us when we get saved. Because just like the apostles, Pastor did such a good job. Just like the apostles did in their time. They walked with Jesus, the very nature and essence of God, but they missed who He was. Why? Because they saw Him in physical form. They saw Him for who He was in the natural. And they weren't paying attention to who He was in His nature. Pastor explain how Paul had to come along to correct the apostles. I believe that. In fact, the apostles were pretty much sticking around Jerusalem. That is not what God intended. It is not what Jesus intended. Jesus intended that his apostles would go out and declare the kingdom of God to all the four corners of the earth. And in the end, they did it, but it took Paul to come along and kind of shake him up a little. In fact, you can read in Acts, and it says that when Paul came and declared the things that God had showed him, the apostle says, "We recognize God is with you. You go out and declare it to the world." And Paul had to be going, "Well, that's your job. Why don't you come and help me?" But he said, "You know what? God's called me for a purpose." See, because Paul had to make a decision that he had to count everything he knew of the law as nothing until he could relearn through his new nature who he was in Christ. See, the Holy Spirit had to teach Paul. Jesus wasn't there. Jesus wasn't there. Now, whether he went to heaven or not in visions and dreams, I don't know. But I know that if Jesus can teach me through the Holy Spirit today, he certainly could have taught Paul in that day. And Jesus, you know what's interesting, if you look, what happened at the road to Damascus? He got saved. He said, "Go see this guy." He got saved, and then what happened to him? Right after he got saved, what happened to him? No, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Spirit came upon him after he got born again, and that Holy Spirit began to be the mentor and teacher of his spirit. The Holy Spirit is the teacher and mentor of our born-again new nature. You know, if I come along, pastor is our shepherd in the earth. He's called to be our pastor. Is that right?
Yep.
But if pastor begins to speak contrary to what the Holy Spirit is saying, will pastor still be my mentor and teacher? He can't be, because he cannot go against the Word of God. That's why I love my pastor, because if you can say all the things you want to say about him, but I know one thing, he loves the Word of God. And he loves the fact that the Holy Spirit can help him to understand it so that he can deliver something to us that will benefit us. As long as Pastor Jan Butler is staying in step with the Holy Spirit, we can listen to him, we can grab a hold of what he says, and we can grow a whole lot by it. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the one working inside of every person's heart in this room today. The Holy Spirit, right now, I may be saying something, and I'm putting a verbalization or a word that you understand through your mind into something, into your understanding. But ultimately, if the Holy Spirit can't add to that in your new nature, then what I'm saying is worthless to you. It has no value to you, because if the Holy Spirit can't add to it, and bring it alive as revelation in you, then it has no value to you. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, because He's our answer for false doctrine. He's our corrector of making mistakes. And just because a pastor preaches something dumb, or a leader preaches something dumb, doesn't mean that they're a false teacher or prophet. They may have just made a mistake. But you know what? If a minister makes a mistake... If a minister makes a mistake and you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you as your teacher, you can say, that doesn't really jive. I can set that aside for now. I love this person, but I can set that aside. I can set that aside. And that's an okay thing to do. It's okay. I always like to term it, I think pastors use the same, you know, you put it up on the shelf. Because it might be just simply you don't understand it. It could be that it's not of God. And if you put it up on the shelf and you just let God begin to share those things with you and let Him become your teacher and mentor, then it might be simply you just don't understand it. And when God's ready to pull it down with the Holy Spirit, He'll pull that thing right down and He'll drive it home to you, and it will become a revelation to you. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. Go to Romans chapter 8. In verse 16, it says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit." That first spirit is referring to the Holy Spirit. Himself bears witness with our born-again spirit, that new nature, that we are children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together with Him. See, the Holy Spirit is given to our new nature to bear witness to what is of God. Thank God for that. It sure puts us in a good position as Christians, doesn't it? To have that simple base knowledge. And remember, I'm teaching you guys simple things. This is something a young person should be able to get a hold of. This is something that a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, an 8-year-old should be able to get a hold of. And if they begin to express themselves through these simple understandings, God can build upon it in such a way that they become, man, wow. Nothing can stop them. This is the kind of understanding the devil doesn't want the church to get. Because it's simple. See, God's not complicated, He's simple. He's simple. He's not complicated. If it gets too complicated to me, I just put it up on the shelf. Because it's just, I can't figure it out. It's too complicated. Let God figure it out for me. And when that complication becomes uncomplicated, it'll be revelation. And it'll hit my spirit, and it'll become something I can use in my walk with God. I don't want knowledge for the sake of knowledge, just to have knowledge. I mean, I can go to college and get all kind of knowledge. And that's not bad. That's a good thing. But if I have knowledge upon knowledge upon knowledge upon knowledge upon knowledge, and it never brings wisdom by the new nature that can be carried out in such a way that I'm expressing the kingdom of God in my life, then it's nothing to me. It's just knowledge. See, Jesus, or God, makes many statements like, you know, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to me. He said, I'll take the base things of this world and make them wise. Why? Because His gospel's simple. And the devil wants to complicate everything. It's simple. Go real quick to Jude in chapter 20, or verse 20. Jude, there's no chapter. If there's a Jude 20, we're missing it big time. Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest things the Holy Spirit does for us is gives us the gift of tongues. Why? Because it bypasses our knowledge and our understanding that come through this world system. And it goes right straight to the kingdom of God. And it builds in us a most holy faith. You remember last week, Pastor talked about sense faith and God faith? Well, he was saying that your faith, when operating out of the new nature, your most holy faith, when it's operating out of your new nature, that's faith. Sensual faith is we're trying to be convinced of it. We think we know it, but we're not sure. It's law. Sensual faith is the same as law, the same thing that law does to the mind. Sensual faith or sensual belief in God does to our mind. That's not bad, because sometimes you just got to try to convince yourself that it's true, right? I mean, when your body's telling you you're dying, and you have to come against that, sometimes you just need to sit there and say, God, you said in your word, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. You know, and sometimes when we're sitting there and confessing those things, we're not really moving God, we're just moving us. I mean, most of the time. Okay, we're not trying to convince God that we're healed, right? Right? We're not trying to convince God we're saved. We're not trying to convince God that we're healed. We're convincing our own selves that we're healed. So confession in and of itself is not bad. Why? Because you're confessing something that's godly. Like, for instance, one of God's laws is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you have a next-door neighbor that you hate, it's not bad to go ahead and say, okay, I've got to love this neighbor because the Word of God says it. Even though inside of you, you hate him, you hate him, you hate him. But the Word of God said it's okay to love them. And it's right to love them. And the expression of my new nature in God is that I should love my neighbor. Because God, in Christ, is the fulfillment of the law. He's not contrary to it. He's the fulfillment of it. He's the expression of it. He's the ability to carry it out. So for me, when I don't want to love someone, I can force myself. Contrary to what my natural, fleshly, carnal desires would want to do, I can force myself to believe that I can love them. And at some point in time, my new nature will kick in with that truth. And there's going to come a point in my life where I'm going to look at him and I'm going to go, I love him. Wow! Yesterday I hated him. Today I just want to hug him. See, God has the ability to do that. To build inside of you the true expression of who He is. The Holy Spirit is your teacher and mentor. Point number two. Point number Point number three. The Holy Spirit will lead you into Christ's nature. The Holy Spirit will lead you into Christ's nature, which is love. See, that's how come sometimes when we as Christians get into situations that get really complicated, we fall apart like a cheap watch. Right? Because we forget this simple truth, that God is love. When everything gets complicated, I remember hearing a story about something that happened at our church. And I just, you know, and pastor expressing a difficult situation and things swirling around and people saying things. And you know what? It got real complicated. Because there's this side of the story and there's this side of the story and there's this side of the story and there's this side of the story. And which one's right and which one's wrong? And maybe they're a little right and maybe they're a little right and maybe they're a little wrong and maybe they're a little wrong. And who's right and who's wrong? We don't know. It's complicated. See, but God's nature has the ability to uncomplicate things. Why? Because it's love. Do you know when Jesus was standing before Pontius Pilate, and when Jesus was standing before his accusers, when they were lambasting him with all these accusations, Jesus could have complicated the situation a whole lot. How could he have done that? He could have answered every one of them. Well, this is what I did. Well, this is what I did. And every single thing he would have said would have drove them further and further and further into darkness. So Jesus, knowing that he wasn't going to change their mind because they had already turned their hearts from God, he wasn't going to change these Pharisees' minds. They were not going to be changed. Jesus uncomplicated the situation and he didn't say nothing. And he even uncomplicated it more and he let them whip him and beat him and take a scourging he didn't deserve. He uncomplicated it even more by stepping in and into a situation where they're putting a cross on his back. And then he uncomplicated it even more and he went and took that cross and marched up a hill. And then he uncomplicated it even further. And he let him drive that stake into the ground and hang there until he died. Physically. No more defending your position, right? Well, what does that? What part of God would do all that? Because God could certainly stand in a position of defending His position before humanity. He didn't have a lack of ability to say, you know, you're wrong, I'm right. He didn't have that lack. But God decided to express Himself in love. Because that's God. His nature drives towards love. His nature drives towards love. His nature is love. Yep. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if we have all these other things, but we have not love, we're nothing. If we have glory, praise, honor in this natural world, but we have not love, we're nothing. Jesus expressed God's love. See, I said this is really simple, isn't it? It was simple. God gave you a new nature. Then He gave you the Holy Spirit to teach that new nature. But what He's teaching that new nature is love. And guess what the next thing is? Which is one of the hardest things for us to do. But God displayed it. God's love in our nature serves other people. God's love in our nature serves others. Love serves others. Love serves others in the ways, you know, Jesus sometimes hit people pretty hard, didn't He? If you read the accounts of the gospel, Jesus sometimes said some things that were a little hard for people to grasp a hold of. But then there were other times where Jesus just loved on people. You know, everybody needs love expressed different ways. Sometimes I need to just be slapped. And that would be okay for Pastor Cook to slap me. You are being stupid right now, John. Dude. Oh, yes, you're right. I'm sorry. And that's an expression of His love towards me. Is it not? It might not seem very exciting at the time, but it's an expression. You know, there's a biblical principle in that. Hebrews says, what father loves his children where he doesn't chasten them? Okay, so chastening can be an expression of God's love. But chastening or doing that could also be an expression of not love. Love serves others in the area they need to be served. Love serves others. Love serves other people. Go to Romans chapter 13. See, Jesus served humanity on the cross. He didn't have to. But He knew that if He didn't, we wouldn't be sitting here today talking about no new nature, that's for darn sure. I don't know where we'd be. We'd be in a world of hurt. Some of us might not be. But Jesus did what He did. Thank God for that. Romans 13 and verse number 8. It says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, they are all summed up in this saying, namely, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of your sleep. For now, right now, our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness or lewdness and lust, not in strife, not in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. You know what? I make mistakes a lot in my walk with God. But one thing that keeps me right with God is that I have not made an excuse for where I missed the mark. I've not made a provision. I'm not saying I hadn't made a mistake. I've made mistakes, a lot of them. But I'm not making a provision in my mindset. I'm not making a provision in how I believe for the things that are contrary to God. So when I feel like I want to just strangle someone, I'm not going to make provision in my mind for that. When my flesh says go this way, I have a choice. See, I can either make a provision for that in my mind, or I can make a stand inside of my mindset and say, no, I'm not giving way to this lust. When I feel like I want to go get drunk, which I don't, by the way, but if I did want to go get drunk, if I didn't make a provision in my mind for that and make an excuse and make it acceptable, then I would be working long and hard. See, I think some of your best Christians are some of your most uncomfortable Christians. See, we look at people that are struggling with their flesh and we go, gosh, they just need to get God. We don't make a correlation that there may be Christians that look real good here on Sunday morning, but they're making provision for every sinful thing in their life the rest of the time, the rest of their whole week. And the person that looks like they're failing, they're miserable because they're not making provision. They haven't accepted that this sinful life is their life. And even though they're caught up in sin, they're caught up in drunkenness or lewdness or strife or division, even though they're caught up in that, they may not have made provision for that in their mindset and said it's acceptable. But the religious mind will. That's what turned God off to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Because they held the law, the standard bearers of God. But they made provision in themselves to be contrary to the very thing they were preaching. See, God wants us to stand forth and say, I'm not making provision for the sinful lust. I'm going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. But if we make provision in our mindset for those things, then God can't do what He needs to do in us. And He cannot get us to a place where we would take up our cross just as He did and stand and be whipped and not answer your accusers, but say that I can't change your mind, but you do what you're going to do. Because in the end, God's glory will be made manifest. See, Jesus knew. He knew that by answering His accusers, He would complicate the situation. God's not complicated. He's simple. Go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to finish with this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, For I say through the grace given to me. Paul's speaking forth from his ability that God gave to him. His new nature. To everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You know, I'm one of those kind of people that certain words catch me. And I'm like, well, I need to know what soberly means. Why is it important that I know what soberly means? Because I've always looked at that verse and said, I need to be thinking of myself real low. And there's whole denominations that preach that's what you need to do. You're low. Don't get nothing. You can't prosper. You can't do nothing. You know what soberly doesn't mean that? Soberly, if you look it up, it actually means the correct assessment of yourself. So when he says, look at yourself soberly, he's saying, if you need to be brought down a few notches, you better start thinking along those lines. He's also saying, if you're in your seat today and you don't think you're good enough, you better start thinking according to what God's Word says you are. Because you're not thinking soberly. That's not a correct estimate of who you are. God called you an overcomer. He's called you an achiever. He's called you the one that has the ability to carry His nature. And those of you in this room that think you're all that, and you're not, you better start thinking soberly, because you can go to the other side of the spectrum. God gives us the ability to see us for who we are. And we need to have a correct assessment of where we stand and who we are. Because those four things, God's given you a new nature. He's also given you the Holy Spirit to help guide and lead and mentor and teach that new nature. And that new nature leads you into the very, very nature of God, which is love. And the expression of God's love is to serve others. In order to accomplish those four base principle things in the kingdom of God, you have to have a correct assessment of yourself. Having the correct assessment is if you need to get saved, you better get saved. Having the correct assessment of yourself is that if I don't have the Holy Spirit in my life as my mentor and teacher, and if I don't have the gift of praying in tongues that God gifted me with, He gave me that to bypass my understanding and give me what I need, apart from what I think or know, then you better receive the Holy Spirit with the gift of the evidence of speaking in tongues. If you need to start walking in love with your neighbors, you better start doing it. Because God's going to get to a point where He will not tolerate it anymore. There are things in my life I got to correct. Period. Over and out. Because it's going to get to a place where God's going to say, you know what, John? I've talked to you about it long enough. It's time you make the correction. You've got the capacity. You've got the ability. You need to start doing it. Sometimes God just needs to slap us silly. And that's the truth. And sometimes God will wrap His arms around you and love you with only the love that God can give you. But you need to understand where you're at. Sober-mindedness puts you in a position where you understand the things of God correctly for you, where you're at today, what you need to change. Amen? God does things simply. He's not complicated. He is not complicated. God is not complicated. God is very simple. And if you get complication going in your mindset, you need to say, God, give me simple right now. Because I'm simple-minded. I need simple. And that's okay. God said He wants you to be simple-minded. Remember, be like children. He wants you to be simple-minded. Simple principles, because those are the ones that the whole foundation of the kingdom of God are built upon. Amen? Amen. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Cook.
Hallelujah. Good message, John. Let's stand. Amen. Good job. Praise the Lord. We have some music. While they're getting the music ready, if there's anyone here who wants to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, we're going to open the altars for that right now. And also, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues is very necessary, especially in the day we live. We want you to come forward while we're singing a chorus and do that. And if you're out of fellowship and want to get back in fellowship, now's the time and this is the place. Hallelujah. Don't stay walking around out in the world out of fellowship with God. That's not a good thing to do. So, any one of those three areas, if you want prayer this morning, then come forward while we're singing a chorus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Trust Him at all. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for my precious sister that's come forward this morning. Lord, you just meet every need, answer every question. Lord, just fill her spirit and her heart with your love and your compassion. It's so needed right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. We just turn to you, Father, in our time of need. We serve you, Lord, desire you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Go with the sister beside you, behind you. Hallelujah. God will meet your need. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyone else want prayer for healing or any other thing? John will be up here, and or myself will be glad to pray with you. You can come up after we go ahead and dismiss. We'll be having service tonight. I'll be continuing what I was teaching on Wednesday night on godly wisdom. So we'll just keep going. Hallelujah.
Just want to remind all the sixth grade parents, we have a junior high open house for parents coming in, and we'll be starting our junior high, senior high on Sunday night, so I just want to remind everybody of that.
Thank you, Ted. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence, your anointing here. Thank you for the power and the authority of your word. Pray, Lord, in Jesus' name that every one of us remember what was shared this morning, and we'll live stronger and better in you, Lord, and be obedient to the word of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you go.